Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. On Jerusalem Day in Israel, the specter of all-out war looms between Israelis and Palestinians as rockets are firing from the Gaza Strip. Canada and the Middle East Quartet, which includes the United Nations, the United States, the European Union, and Russia, condemned on Sunday the violence that took place on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and called on Israel to halt eviction plans for Palestinian families from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood as violence rises in the country's capital. The EU and the U.S. also issued a statement against the violence and the pending Sheikh Jarrah evictions, as did Jordan, Turkey, Qatar, Egypt, the UAE, and Bahrain. Individual European countries, as well as South African countries, have spoken out as well. Needless to say, Jerusalem is a tinderbox right now. You might even say it's a cup of trembling. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we're looking at the incredible powder keg that is Jerusalem right now and how the Abraham Accords could impact the entire situation like never before. The two-state solution could literally be right around the corner. So hold on to your hats as things continue to get crazy. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for this day, for these people that you're gathering. We thank you for the platform of NTEB and all the people that support it. And Lord, we come to you today and we have a heavy heart today because your holy city, Jerusalem, is under siege, is under fire. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, that's us, and give him no rest, that's God, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And Father God, we know that that will happen when Jesus returns with us in Revelation 19 at the Battle of Armageddon at the Second Coming. And we know that the only peace that is coming to Israel is the false peace of Antichrist. And Lord, we just pray for the Jewish people. We pray for Israel. And we pray for the Palestinians, Lord. We pray that some would get saved and avoid the fires of judgment in hell. And we pray for your chosen people, the Jewish people today, Lord, that their eyes may be opened, that they could receive their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And it's in his name that we pray, Lord, this morning, this afternoon, and ask you to meet with us as we gather around the world by way of the internet, Lord, as we plunder the devil's kingdom. And Father God, if there be one listening who is lost and doesn't know you, in pardon and forgiveness of their sins, we pray that something would be said and done that would lead a lost soul to you. And we pray these things, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Monday, everybody. And for those of you who attended our house church Sunday morning service yesterday, and for those of you who attended the Bible study last night, the Lord really blessed and he really showed up and it was exciting. I always love doing all of these podcasts and Bible studies and these worship services that we do. But yesterday it just felt especially incredible and the Bible was alive and real and we were right in the middle of it. And I just love when the Holy Spirit really dumps it on us and really gives us a special blessing. And it absolutely felt like yesterday. It was just every program that we do to me is special. But yesterday, all day. There was just something extra special about it. I don't know what it was, God's promise to come and get us. We talked about that last night on the Bible study. We talked about God's promise to come and get his bride. And all through the Bible, do you know that the Bible in the book of Genesis, it starts out with a man and his bride, and his bride that's taken from his own body. And we looked at that last night. We looked at how the born-again church is both the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. And that was an amazing blessing last night when we take what we know about Adam and what we know about Eve and how Eve was taken from the body of Adam. And Paul says that the first Adam is of the earth, earthy, but the last Adam is heavenly. And just as Eve was taken from the bride, from the body of Adam for his bride, we are the body of Christ. And from that body of Christ is created the bride of Christ. And so many people got a blessing. I had a number of people tell me last night that they never saw that in the Bible, how Eve was taken from the body of Adam. And how the bride of Jesus Christ is taken from the body of Jesus Christ. And all through the Bible, we have perfect harmony. And in the very beginning, we see a wedding. In the very end, we see a wedding. And we have perfect harmony all the way through the Bible. When we look at the upcoming marriage of the Lamb. And for those of us who are saved today, we are going to, just as my daughter walked down the aisle last week with her husband, we are going to walk down the aisle, and we are going to be espoused, Paul says, as a chaste virgin, not virgins, plural, but virgin, singular. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul is going to, he's going to walk us down the aisle. He's going to be kind of like, well, not really the father, but he's going to be like the best man. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that was just a blessing last night. And for all of you who attended the Bible study, it was just a great blessing, and I love spending this time together as a church family. All right, let's get right into the action. Israel is heating up. It is unbelievable what's happening. Penny just sent me this clip that I want to play for you. I have a number of clips that I want to play for you, but this one is the very latest one from I-24 News over in Europe. Hamas fires rockets into Israel. This is happening right now. Take a listen to this. Hamas fires rockets into Israel.
I can just report so far that we're hearing the siren and people are running for shelter.
This is happening right now.
We just heard a loud boom. And now we're hearing another loud boom as well. Active in Jerusalem as well.
Wow, these are just incredible pictures we're seeing, Emily.
For shelter. These are images of people running for shelter. That's what's happening. You can see we heard a loud boom, and we're telling the crowd, they're telling the crowd now to find shelter. So you can see now this is what's happening. The person is going on the loudspeaker to calm people down and to find shelter.
Wow, and
so
Emily, this
heard a siren in Jerusalem.
This, of course, is happening, Emily, as this flag march was underway for Jerusalem Day.
Yes, it was underway in Jerusalem, and they told the marchers that they were not going to be able to go through Damascus Gate. That was the original plan. The police then moved the march and decided to not go through Damascus Gate, but rather to go through Jaffa Gate. And so now what you're seeing in front of you is apparently people crowding because they're running for shelter. So we'll just stay on the action here, and you can see it. I'm behind the camera, but you can see. And Now the man is going on the loudspeaker, and you can see that he's telling people to calm down and to try to find shelter. We did hear a loud boom in the distance earlier.
Yeah, and we are still seeing these red alerts. These red alerts continue. Emily, tell me, this is as Hamas was warning Israel that if it didn't get these troops from the Temple Mount complex there in Jerusalem, that it will attack. That deadline now expiring. It expired at 6 o'clock. So, Emily, this looks like...
Right, so these are the warnings that we heard earlier on, and they did say Hamas, as you mentioned, did put an ultimatum out there, and they said if there are not, they use the word settlers and police removed from that neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, that there would be a siren. I do have to mention here, Sarah, just for a little background, this is the first siren in Jerusalem possibly since the last major conflict with Hamas. So this is a very sharp escalation from what we saw before. Now we're seeing that the you can see the crowd sitting down. That's because the person has come on the loudspeaker and told people to sit down. It's unclear to me why that is exactly at the moment, but he's telling them to sit down. The rules for when you hear that siren are to find a shelter, to stay there for at least 10 minutes after the siren goes off, and then to come out of the shelter. The closest one being, we're standing next to the Jewish Agency building, so that would supposedly be where the closest shelter is. I saw a lot of people running there just before, but these shelters are not open now. I'm seeing people running actually into the nearby buildings to try to find those shelters. But at this point, he's telling people to sit down, which is why you're seeing them sit down.
Yeah.
And they're continuing with the music again.
So, Emily, it feels, just looking at these pictures, certainly a lot of confusion there on the ground. There's normally not this many people sort of packed into that area there, of course. A lot of people out and about for this Jerusalem Day, this flag march. Tell me, Emily, this is a security cabinet meeting is also underway.
Sure, so I'll just explain. So ordinarily, what we were meant to do, what was on the schedule, was that the flag marchers would come here.
So there you have it. That's happening on the ground right now in the nation of Israel. And it's absolutely incredible what's going on. And things are literally getting ready to explode over there. Let me pull up this story here from I-24 News. Gaza terrorists also demand release for all detained during East Jerusalem riots. The Hamas military wing came out on Monday with a stark ultimatum to Israel over the ongoing clashes in East Jerusalem. By 1800 local time, just over an hour from the time of the statement, Israel must pull out all of its troops, police, and settlers from the Temple Mount compound, as well as the contentious Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. The Gaza terrorists also demand release for all those detained during riots in East Jerusalem. The ultimatum comes after the IDF closed off several roads in the Gaza area and scrapped a massive military drill to have all forces available in case of an escalation. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Aviv Kohavi decided to cancel the Chariots of Fire exercise following a security assignment. Earlier in the day, Israel's military also announced it was sending reinforcements into the country's south. Previously, it also beefed up its West Bank presence. The military struck Hamas positions earlier in the day after rocket attacks on Israel's south and closed off the Eretz crossing between the Jewish state and the coastal enclave. So this is what's going on right now on the Temple Mount in Israel, and we are literally a kitten's whisker away from all-out war. Today is Jerusalem Day. Some of you know what that is. Some of you do not know what that is. Jerusalem Day, celebrated every year in the month of May. Jerusalem Day is a Israeli national holiday commemorating the reunification of Jerusalem and the establishment of Israeli control over the Old City in the aftermath of the June 1967 Six-Day War. The day is officially marked by state ceremonies and memorial services. Today, May 10th, 2021, is Jerusalem Day, and Hamas and the Palestinians have picked this day in particular to give an ultimatum, to draw a line in the sand, and an attempt to force Israel to bow to its combined will. Here's another story that just literally came across my desk. The Knesset plenum evacuated over rocket fire. MKs return a few minutes later. The MKs had been holding a session, the Allied victory over Nazi Germany, but rocket fire caused the Knesset to evacuate as rocket sirens sounded across Jerusalem. And so this is where we are, but this is exactly where you would expect to be if you believe the Bible, and if Zechariah, if you've ever spent any time at all in the book of Zechariah, if you want to know what's coming for Israel, then you need to get into the book of Zechariah, starting around chapter, the whole book is fantastic, but specifically chapters 9 through 14. Zechariah 12 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day," this is the day of the Lord, "I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it." Now, isn't that interesting that Zechariah 12:3 says that Jerusalem is going to become the burdensome stone, and that all the people of the earth are going to be gathered against Jerusalem? Now, if you remember when I was reading the opening part of the show today, just about 15 minutes ago, what did we talk about? Canada, the United Nations, the United States, the European Union, Russia, Jordan, Turkey, Qatar, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, South Africa, and many individual European countries. All those countries that I just mentioned are against Israel right now. How crazy is that, that Zechariah 12:3 says, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people." That day is going to take place at the day of the Lord. That day is going to take place in the great tribulation during the time of Jacob's trouble. That day is not today, but what we're seeing today is an amazing warm-up to the fulfillment of Zechariah 12 that's going to take place during the time of Jacob's trouble. And Zechariah says that Jerusalem is going to become a burdensome stone for all people. And over the last 4 days, the world has been watching the escalating violence that's taking place where? It's taking place in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, exactly where the Old Testament prophets said these things would take place. Zechariah says, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people." Check. "All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces." Check. "Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." And what do we see today? Canada, the Middle East Quartet, the United Nations, United States, European Union, Russia, Canada, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, Qatar, Egypt, Jordan. Every one of those countries is giving us a stunning pre-fulfillment of what the prophet Zechariah was talking about. And if I'm telling you, Zechariah, even more than Isaiah and Jeremiah, if you want a clear-cut picture of what it's going to be like during the time of Jacob's trouble, then you need to do a Bible study, do a personal meditation today in Zechariah 9 through 14. And it talks about all the events in the time of Jacob's trouble. It talks about the great tribulation. It talks about Zechariah 13. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And that's Zechariah 13 is talking about when Jesus shows up and what's going to happen then in the cleansing and the incredible cleansing that's going to take place. And then in Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And that includes the United States, by the way. For I will gather, Zechariah 14, 2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is Luke 21, this is Matthew 24. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. This is Revelation 19, 14. Zechariah 14, 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not night, but it shall come to pass at evening time it shall be light. And verse 8 says, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. Verse 9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. So this is what we're seeing happening right now. This is what we're seeing taking place. God is preparing. We are living in the times of the end. God is preparing Israel for the coming judgment. And what you're watching happening right now, and we have seen it for years and years and years, and every year it gets worse and it gets more intense. The Abraham Accords do not address the problem that Israel has with the Palestinians and Hamas. The Abraham Accords deal with every other Muslim nation, but don't forget, there is no nation called Palestine. It doesn't exist, but it's going to exist when they put the two-state solution in place. Now, if you've been following all the political issues that are taking place in Israel right now, you know that barring some sort of a miracle, Benjamin Netanyahu is just about out in Israel. The Jerusalem Post reported yesterday that Bennett and Lapid aim to swear in a government on Thursday. Bennett made significant progress in meeting with the United Arab List in Israel, and he will meet him again with Lapid on Monday. Negotiating teams of Yamina and Yesh Atid met with representatives of their potential coalition partners on Sunday, yesterday, in an effort to swear in a new government by the end of the week. Now, what's amazing about this new government is for the first time, Israel is going to be forming a new government that is almost 50% Israeli Arab Muslims. And Israel is about to go into a very, very precarious position. They have been dealing with this Palestinian situation for so long that a whole generation of Arab Muslims have been born in Israel and are now serving in the Israeli government. And the question is, are these people loyal to the Palestinian cause, or are they loyal to the Muslim cause? That's the question we have to be asking, but I think you know the answer. I think you know that when push comes to shove, the Israeli Muslims that are in power in the Knesset, they are going ultimately to support the Palestinian cause. Delmar is asking, I know a person born and raised in Bethlehem. She considers herself a Palestinian. Why is that? That's because Bethlehem, even though it's the birthplace of Jesus Christ, and we have a tendency to associate Bethlehem with Israel, and biblically speaking, Bethlehem absolutely is part of Israel. But in 2021, that's not the case. The control of Bethlehem was passed from the Ottomans to the British at the end of World War I. Bethlehem came under Jordanian rule during the 1948 Arab-Israeli War and was later captured by the 1967 Six-Day War by Israel. Then you flash forward to 1995 and something called the Oslo Accords. Bethlehem has been administered by the Palestinian Authority. What is the Palestinian Authority? It is the terrorist organization that used to be called the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, that was started in the 1960s by Yasser Arafat. And they have changed their name because they don't like to be associated with a terrorist name. But the only thing that changed was the name. Hamas controls the Palestinian sector. It is Hamas who was firing the rockets over the Gaza Strip border today and all weekend long. So Delmar wants to know, why does his friend consider themselves, after being born in Bethlehem, to be a Palestinian? Because Israel does not control Bethlehem. They also don't control Judah, and they also do not control Samaria. If you remember back in the last year that Donald Trump was president, we told you that Israel was right on the cusp, just about to declare sovereignty over Judah and Samaria. They were so close to taking control of those two areas. And then what happened? The Abraham Accords happened. And then in order for Israel to participate in the Abraham Accords, part of what Jared Kushner and the Trump team told Israel was, if you want to be part of the Abraham Accords, and this is where it gets really, really tricky. If you want to be part of the Abraham Accords, then you have to give up your desire for annexation over Judah and Samaria. Now, why is it important for Israel to have control of Judah? I'll show you why. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, and I'll show you exactly why it's incredibly important that Israel controls Judah. Matthew 24, starting in verse 15. This is the start of the Great Tribulation, halfway through the time of Jacob's trouble. The first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble is a time of false peace and false prosperity under Antichrist. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But halfway through the first three and a half, halfway through the first 3.5 years of the 7 year time of Jacob's trouble, this is what happens in verse, Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So Matthew shows us Israelis and Jews living in Judea. Israel does not have control of Judah or Samaria. That's the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Those are areas that are under Palestinian control, where Hamas is calling the shots. Now, we told you back in July of 2020, we told you that Benjamin Netanyahu had set an 18-month time frame, and he had every intention of annexing Judea and Samaria, but he never got to it, because the Abraham Accords came in and they changed everything. Remember when Netanyahu and Benny Gantz had formed their historic unity government, and he was going to serve for 18 months, and Gantz was going to serve for 18 months? Well, Benjamin Netanyahu has not even finished his 18 months, and guess what? He's about to be out of office, unless an amazing, miraculous move of God takes place to keep him in office, which certainly could happen. It's not likely at this point, but it's not impossible either. But we told you back last springtime, actually it was April of 2020, we told you that Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the great things that he was going to do was he was going to annex Judea and Samaria, which is the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. He got right up to the moment where he was going to take control and he was going to use the nation of Israel to pull the trigger. And then what happened? Jared Kushner, he comes in with the Abraham Accords, and everything changed. Now, here we are, May 10th. We are 4 days away from the 73rd anniversary of the regathering, the miraculous regathering of the nation of Israel, which took place on May 14th, 1948, officially and formally. But today is Jerusalem Day. Hamas has fired 7 rockets at Jerusalem. And the clashes that are taking place right now on the Temple Mount are off the charts. Hundreds of people have been hurt. 21 soldiers and IDF policemen have been injured in the riots. Now, if somebody gets killed, and it's highly likely that somebody is going to get killed, because you have rockets being fired, you have guns being fired, you have thousands of Palestinians rushing the Temple Mount, you have thousands of Jews doing their best to try and fight back and stand their ground. All right, wait a second. I have a new report coming in. Here's a new report. This just came across the wire 9 minutes ago. 9 people are said to be killed in Gaza Strip. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry reports that 9 martyrs were killed today, including three children. The deaths were confirmed at Beit Hanun Hospital in northern Gaza Strip. According to Channel 12, the IDF is denying responsibility for the children's death, saying that they were killed in a rocket launch at Israel that went awry. The announcement comes as Palestinian media reports Israel is carrying out retaliatory raids in Gaza following the rocket fire on Jerusalem and South Israel. The IDF has yet to confirm one of the fatalities is a Hamas officer. So I update what I previously said with this breaking news. Nine people are said to have already been killed in the fighting on the Temple Mount. That is going to escalate things dramatically. There is no way that the Palestinians are going to back down. Absolutely no way at all. In fact, not only are the Palestinians not backing down, believe it or not, the Palestinians, according to I-24 News, they are demanding that Israel removes their IDF troops from the Temple Mount within 1 hour. And that was about 2 hours ago, so that deadline has passed. The ultimatum comes after the IDF closed off several roads in the Gaza area. So here you have nine people are said to be killed in the fighting on the Temple Mount today, on Jerusalem Day. And those people are now going to be considered martyrs in the Palestinian cause. And if you know anything about Muslims, they love a good martyr. And in fact, Muslims love martyrs so much that the Palestinian government, such as it is, they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to the parents of children who agreed to be martyrs. Now, how do you become a martyr for the Palestinian cause? You strap bombs to your chest, you go out into a crowded area, and you pull the ripcord, and you blow yourself to smithereens. That is how a Muslim becomes a martyr. And Muslims are not afraid of becoming martyrs. In fact, they, in Muslim thinking, laying down your life for the Muslim cause is the highest honor that they can receive. Now, it's interesting, in Islam wants you to die for Allah. But in the Bible, in Christianity, Jesus died for you. Isn't that a thing? In Islam, you have to die for Allah. But in the Bible, Jesus dies and he rises again 3 days later, according to the scriptures, and he does that for you. An amazing difference. But here we have nine martyrs of the Muslim cause who became martyrs just hours ago. Here we go. Jordan protesters call for ouster of Israeli envoy in Amman. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators hold angry protests in Amman, Jordan, demanding an end to Jordan's peace treaty with Israel. Wow, that's something. So you have pro-Palestinian factions in Amman, Jordan right now, and they are demanding an end to the Jordanian peace treaty that the two nations have with each other between Jordan and Israel. It says here, waving Palestinian and Jordanian flags, a crowd of over 1,500 people, including both Islamist Party supporters and leftist activists, demanded the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador. The protesters are being kept back from the embassy and behind a security cordon. They are carrying banners that read, "No embassy, no ambassador," and "What was taken by force can only be returned by force." Jordan's 1994 treaty with the Jewish state was not peace, it's capitulation, they chant. expel the embassy, expel the ambassador. Some also are burning Israeli flags and crying death to Israel. So this is what's happening right now with boots on the ground in the nation of Israel on the Temple Mount. Let's take a listen to this. This is referencing some of the events that took place over the weekend, but it's really good to get us up to speed. Take a listen to this. Dozens are wounded as Israeli forces raid the Al-Aqsa compound.
At least 215 people have been wounded in the latest outbreak of violence in and around the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Jerusalem. Israeli security forces fired tear gas and stun grenades at Palestinian protesters who hurled stones and other objects in return. Already simmering tensions are being further inflamed by a planned march later on Monday by right-wing Israeli nationalists for an event they call Jerusalem Day. Well, there have also been explosions of stun grenades and tear gas inside Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's understood that people were staging a sit-in protest and security forces attempted to clear them. Palestinians said they wanted to guard the mosque ahead of the nationalist march. Well, the Palestinian Red Crescent says its team is being prevented from reaching the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound with aid. 88 people have been taken to hospital. Live now to Harry Fawcett. He joins us from there. Harry, we've seen those rather alarming pictures of the Israeli forces storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Just talk us through this morning's events. What exactly happened?
Well, we know that there were thousands of people who stayed in the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound overnight. That is not atypical in the last days of Ramadan, that people from around Palestinian-Israeli towns and also from within East Jerusalem will do that. But obviously, at the moment, the state of tension within the Old City and within occupied East Jerusalem more generally is extremely high. There were obviously a lot of Israeli security forces massed around the site, and something triggered the events that we're seeing unfold. Now, the Israeli officials, Israeli security forces are saying that they that there were rocks thrown at Israeli police positions and indeed onto the road around the Old City. And that is when they moved in. We've spoken to one witness who was there at the scene, an activist who says that there were Israeli security forces with rubber-coated steel bullet guns who suddenly appeared and started firing. It's not clear precisely whether they were doing so after stone throwing, but that is what seems to have been the initial moments of what then turned into an extremely serious situation in the compound, with police coming in huge numbers, firing tear gas, especially into the area around the Dome of the Rock, which is where most of the female worshippers were. We've seen stun grenades, use of rubber-coated steel bullets, injuries to the face and the eyes of several people, at least eight journalists injured. We've also seen video of police backing people away very aggressively and in one instance appearing to fire a rubber-coated steel bullet directly at very close range into the leg of one of the people they were trying to disperse. Also video of people being held and then being beaten by Israeli security forces. So it's that they're extremely concerning videos and also concerning numbers. As you say, more than 200 people injured, according to the Palestinian Red Crescent Society. They say one of their own medics was injured and was in critical condition as a result of that injury. It doesn't take much for this really to spin out of control, especially if we start seeing anybody dying from what has taken place so far or what could take place in the hours ahead. One other concerning video, that of a car being driven by a Jewish man just outside the walls of the Old City in occupied East Jerusalem. He appears to come under attack by Palestinian stone throwers. The car then swerves and knocks one of those Palestinians over extremely violently. And then there are further attempts to throw stones before there what appears to be shots fired by him into the air. It just shows that when people get in close proximity, Jews and Palestinians, at times like this, things can really get out of control very quickly.
They certainly can. Harry, how bad do you think this has the potential to get? Because this is all taking place at a time of heightened tension, but also on the so-called Jerusalem Day, a day which is quite provocative for many people living in the city.
Well, yes, that's right. I mean, even when there aren't the current level of tensions, Jerusalem Day, as it's known to Israeli Jews, is an extremely high-pressure event requiring a lot of Israeli security forces' presence and putting on the Palestinian residents, especially of the Muslim quarter of the Old City, a great deal of pressure as well. What it commemorates, as far as Israelis are concerned, is what they call the unification of Jerusalem in 1967, what for Palestinians who live here represents the beginning of the Israeli occupation in this half of the city and, of course, more widely across the Palestinian territories. On this day, the question is whether the Israeli security forces are going to inhibit at least some of the route of that march, put in restrictions to prevent close proximity between Jews and Palestinians. They would usually march through the Muslim quarter, waving flags, dancing, chanting, shouting, banging on shut Muslim owners' shops. And if that takes place today, then as we've just seen, already there have been very violent events that could trigger even further such events. The Israeli police commissioner said as late as Sunday night that he wanted things to go ahead as they traditionally do. However, there is meant to be a decision made early Monday. We're still waiting to hear the official decision as to whether they're going to allow it to go ahead in its full form or whether they're going to place restrictions. In either event, it'll be tense.
It will indeed. Harry Fawcett there reporting live for us at the Al-Aqsa compound. Thank you, Harry, for now. Well, let's stay in occupied East Jerusalem.
So there you have it. That's what's happened. That's what happened over the weekend, and that's what's happening right now on the ground. And as you can see, it doesn't matter what news site that you go to. This is the number one story in the world at the moment. Hamas is firing rockets at Jerusalem. The AP is reporting Hamas militants fired a large barrage of rockets into Israel on Monday, including one that set off air raid sirens as far away as Jerusalem after hundreds of Palestinians were hurt in clashes with Israeli police at a Flashpoint religious site in the contested Holy City. It makes me chuckle when I read how lost people, the type of words and phrases that they use. And when you read articles in places like Reuters and the AP and definitely CNN, MSNBC and all those places, almost none of those people are actual Christians. And they always refer to the occupied city of East Jerusalem, even though Donald Trump declared Jerusalem to be the capital of the nation of Israel. So there's just no getting around it. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you rearrange the pieces. There is no getting around the fact that there is going to be a two-state solution, and it is likely now. I'm not really sure on the time frame, but in my opinion, I really don't see. Now, we're going to have to wait to see how far this situation is going to escalate. We have hundreds of people that have been injured. We have 9 people so far that we know have been killed during the fighting and the retaliation and the rockets being sent off. 9 people have been killed, including 3 children. The spokesman for the Hamas terrorist wing said the attack was a response to what he called Israeli crimes and aggression. This is a message the enemy has to understand well. And Hamas is saying that they are not, absolutely not, going to back down from this situation. And right now, it has become the number one news story across the board and around the world. So, will this turn into what they call an intifada? Will Israel formally and officially go to war with the residents of Gaza? It's certainly looking like it's going to head in that direction. It may get right to the breaking point, and there may be a last minute ceasefire on either the side of the Jewish people or the Muslim people. But the way it looks right now, the IDF is not going to back down, and the Muslims have no intention of backing down. So it looks like it's going to lead to all-out war between the nation of Israel and the Palestinians and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And there have been two or three times throughout history with something that they call an intifada. And an intifada is a holy war, which takes place. The first one was the Palestinian uprising against Israel, and Israeli control of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and it began in 1987. And there have been multiple intifadas, I-N-T-I-F-A-D-A, over the years. And it looks like there's going to be another intifada, unless something is done to make Israel back down or to make the Muslims back down. And you remember a couple of years ago, the last intifada that we had, and it was really, really brutal. And lots of people die, lots of people get hurt, and this has always been the situation, because what the Palestinians want, the Palestinians, their main desire is that Israel is going to retreat to the pre-1967 borders. 1967 being the year of the Six-Day War. And Israel did not ask for the Six-Day War. The Six-Day War came about when Israel was attacked by five Muslim nations. And incredibly, God gave the Jews the victory. And Israel had only been regathered for about 19 years. And God gave them such a victory that the Muslim airplanes, not a single airplane even got up off the ground. And of course, we ask the question, who is occupying who? Is Israel occupying Palestine, or are the Palestinians the occupiers of legitimate Israeli land? Now, in order to get the answer to that question, you need to go to the Bible. Genesis 15, 18 through 21. Genesis 15, 18 through 21. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Now, what does that mean? What does Genesis 15, 18 through 21 mean? This is what it means. The full land of Israel includes the upper right portion of Egypt, all of modern-day Israel, all of modern-day Lebanon, all of modern-day Syria, a piece of Turkey, half of the nation of Iraq, the northern half of Jordan, and a little slice of Saudi Arabia. So when you read Genesis 15, 18 through 21, and you read about those people, the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Perizzites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, all those people represent those nations that I just read to you. Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. Now, it's interesting that Abbas, back on August 19th of 2019, the president of the Palestinian Authority, a man by the name of Abbas, he says that the Palestinians are not really Palestinians. And that's actually a truthful statement, because there has never been a Palestinian people, and there has never been a nation of Palestine. But Abbas, and he's the president of the Palestinian Authority, 2 years ago, he held a press conference and he said this. He said that the people who call themselves the Palestinians are proudly Arab, and we are the original Canaanites. That's what Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said 2 years ago. He said, we are the Canaanites. We will remain in our homeland, and the outsiders on this land have no right in this country. The land is for its inhabitants. The land is for the Canaanites who were here 5,000 years ago. And Abbas says, we are the Canaanites. Well, isn't that interesting? Now, I guess he's never read his Bible, because when you read the Bible, you see what happens to the Canaanites. Turn to Zechariah 14, verses 20-21. Isn't that incredible? All these verses we keep running into. Verse number 20 and verse number 21. We are in year 2021. Zechariah 14, 20-21. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And I said all that to say this, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Isn't that interesting? Zechariah 14:21 says, when Jesus returns, the Canaanites get kicked out. And why? Why do the Canaanites get kicked out? Because it is not their land. Genesis 15:18-21 says that God has given the land to the Jewish people. Now, you can argue with God. You can, if you're a Muslim, if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat, if you're like Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman, the Muslim American congresswoman, if you're like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of the people that they call the squad who support Palestine, if you don't like the fact that God gave the land of Canaan, as well as all those other lands, if you have a problem with the fact that the Bible says that God gave the land of Canaan to the Jews, then you take it up with God. If you're a Laodicean Christian, and believe me, there are many so-called Christian groups that are fighting for the liberation of Palestine. When you do that, you are going against God's revealed will in the Bible. Do you realize that? Do you realize that if you support the nation of Palestine on Israeli ground, you are against God, because God has already given that land to the Jews. So go ahead and support Palestine. Go ahead and wear those t-shirts and those bumper stickers on your car that say Free Gaza and Free Palestine. You are declaring yourself to be against God. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, May 14th, 1948, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Sean is asking a question. Sean is asking a question. Look in verse 4, Joel chapter 3, verse 4. That's just two verses down from what I just read to you. Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Now, Sean is asking a very interesting question. If there has never been a nation of Palestine, why does Joel mention the coast of Palestine in Joel 3:4? That's because Joel is speaking prophetically. Joel is giving you the future. How amazing is that? Right here in your King James Bible, the prophet Joel shows you that there will be, in the time of Jacob's trouble, there will be a nation called Palestine. There was not a nation called Palestine when Joel wrote that. But in your King James Bible, we read about a nation of Palestine. But guess what? If you have an NIV Bible, you don't have that. You know what it says in the NIV Bible? That trashy piece of junk NIV Bible that perverts the Word of God? The NIV Bible says, now what have you against me, Tyre and Sidon, and all you regions of Philistia? Isn't that amazing? If you have an NIV Bible, you don't have Palestine. You only have Palestine if you have a King James Bible. The anti-Christian people who created the NIV Bible, they have removed the word Palestine from Joel 3:4. If you have an ESV Bible, the ESV Bible, also a piece of trash. If you have an ESV Bible, it has Philistia instead of Palestine. Now, Brother Willie is asking, didn't the Romans refer to Palestine? Palestine is an English word, obviously. And one of the great enemies of the Jewish people was the Philistines. And we remember the great story of Samson. He's chained to the pillars of the temple, and they have gouged his eyes out. And Samson, he cries out to God one more time, and Samson asks God to give him that power one more time, to give him his strength back. And what he wants to do is he wants to pull the pillars of the temple down, and he wants to crush all the Philistines. He says in Judges chapter 16, verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord. Now he's chained to the pillars of the temple. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray this and only once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of one with his right hand and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And Judges 16, 18 through 28 through 30 shows you, shows you that Samson, he was fighting the Philistines. Now, flash forward to 70 AD, when the Roman Emperor Titus leads the Roman army, the same people who 250 years later would create the Roman Catholic Church. You need to think about that. When the Roman Emperor Titus declared war against Jerusalem in AD 70 and burned it to the ground, they're the same group of people that would create the Catholic Church 250 years later, but that's a story for another day. But suffice to say that when the Romans destroyed the temple and drove out the Jewish people from Israel, and Israel ceased to be a nation after 70 AD, the Romans mockingly called the name of what used to be Israel, they mockingly referred to it as Palestine. That's where that word comes from. So nobody knew that 2,000 years later, you would have a nation right where the nation of Israel was going to be regathered. You would have a group of people that would raise themselves up and say that they were the Palestinian people. Now, why do they call themselves the Palestinian people? Because Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and Joel chapter 3, verse 4 is absolute Bible prophecy that absolutely has to be fulfilled. Absolutely no question about it. And this is why we see a land and a people that have never existed who call themselves the Palestinian people, because Joel chapter 3 verse 4 is true. And it's things like this, when you really understand what's going on and what everything is really all about and who's behind what and who's in charge of all these different things, you see very, very quickly that there is no getting around Bible prophecy. There's just no way around it. There is no way of getting around Bible prophecy. And there has never been a nation called Palestine. That was a nickname that was mockingly given to the nation of Israel. And there never has been a people called the Palestinian people until the late 1960s. And even after the Palestinians took over, now who do they claim to be? They claim to be the Canaanites. And there is just no getting around that King James Bible. Take a listen to this clip.
Israeli police used stun grenades and water cannon on Palestinian youths as clashes erupted outside the Old City in Jerusalem on Saturday. Tensions have been mounting in the city throughout the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. That's as anger grows over the potential eviction of Palestinians from homes on land claimed by Jewish settlers. On Saturday, tens of thousands of Muslim worshippers prayed at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the Old City on Islam's holy night of Lailat al-Qadr. In the streets leading to the Old City gates, Palestinians threw stones, lit fires, and tore down police barricades. They were repelled by Israeli officers on horseback and in riot gear. According to the Palestinian Red Crescent, at least 80 people were injured, including minors and a one-year-old girl. 14 were taken to hospital. Israeli police said at least one officer was hurt. Outside the Old City, 27-year-old Mahmoud says police have stopped them from entering for a week. Look how they are firing at us, he says. How can we live? Israeli authorities said earlier on Saturday that security was being beefed up in anticipation of confrontations to enable freedom of worship and maintain order and security. That's after violence erupted on Friday night at Al-Aqsa Mosque. At least 205 Palestinians and 18 Israeli officers were injured, drawing international condemnations and calls for calm. Hostility has been intensifying amid a long-running legal case over the East Jerusalem neighbourhood of Sheikh Jarrah. Numerous Palestinian families there are facing eviction. The district has witnessed nightly clashes. Police said dozens of protesters threw stones there on Saturday. And tensions are expected to remain high over the coming days. On Monday, Israel's Supreme Court will hold a hearing on the Sheikh Jarrah evictions. It's the same day that Israel marks Jerusalem Day, its annual celebration of the capture of East Jerusalem during the 1967 Middle East War.
Now, let's talk for a second about the myth of a nation called Palestine. We've been talking about the Palestinian people who have never been a people until the 1960s, and they now claim to not just be the Palestinians, but they claim that they are also the biblical Canaanites. So the question is, are they the ancient Palestinian people? Well, no, they're not, because there has never been a Palestinian nation, so there cannot be a Palestinian people. Have they been living in Palestine for thousands of years? And of course, you know the answer to that question as well. The answer is no, they have not been living in Palestine for thousands of years. Mark Twain took a visit to the so-called land of Palestine, and he said that there was nothing there, nothing but tumbleweeds and nomadic shepherds and goat farmers. So the irrefutable fact is that a land called Palestine, which comprises the present Israel and West Bank, never was the ancient homeland of the Arabs who live in Israel and the West Bank today. These are a completely separate group of people. The Palestinians are Arabs who, at the beginning of the 20th century, emigrated to Palestine from the surrounding Arab countries. So, the people who claim to be Palestinians are actually Jordanians and Egyptians. In the 1880s, an organization regarding Jewish emigration to Palestine attracted Arabs from neighboring countries. The emigration period occurred during the Turkish Ottoman rule. Palestine had experienced an ecological catastrophe because of the extensive felling of trees as a result of the Turkish tree taxation. The land had turned desolate and barren, as well as becoming sparsely inhabited, with very few Turkish feudal lords ruling over the land indiscriminately. So these are the problems that you had with this land. This prompted Mark Twain, among several others, to describe the Holy Land in the following deplorable fashion after visiting it. This is what Mark Twain had to say. Mark Twain said in 1867, "Palestine sits in a sack of ashes, desolate and wretched. Nazareth is abandoned. Jericho is in ruins. Nothing suggests that the Savior has once walked at these locations." That is from a journal that he kept in 1867, describing the nation of Israel, which was mockingly called Palestine. And then, little by little, Jewish settlements began to pop up around the area. And in 1897, the first Zionist Congress was held. From 1517 to 1917, Palestine was under Turkish rule, and from 1917 to 1948, Palestine was administered by Britain. The nearly forgotten name Palestine, which I told you, used by the ancient Romans during the 2nd century, was gradually revived and became an official title for the British Mandate of Palestine. Now, that's what the historical record tells you. But I've already read to you from Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Joel, writing hundreds of years before Israel would be driven out, tells you prophetically and accurately that there is going to be a land in the time of Jacob's trouble and during the time of the great tribulation that Joel talks about. Joel tells you, he foretells you, that there's going to be a land that is going to be called Palestine. Now, the Palestinians are of the same Arab origin as the vast majority of the people who live right across the southern border in Jordan. This is why the nation of Jordan controls the Temple Mount. Even King Hussein of Jordan declared on December 26th of 1981, King Hussein of Jordan says, Jordan is Palestine and Palestine is Jordan. You can go Google that, December 26th, 1981. King Hussein of Jordan, he told you that the Palestinians are Jordanians. The designation Palestinian people is a distorted identity intended as a tactical maneuver in Arab political aspirations of substituting Israel with an Islamic state. And that's why Joel says in Joel 3:2 that the Battle of Armageddon is fought because they have scattered the Jewish people among the nations and they have parted the land of Israel. Goebbels said in Nazi Germany, a lie is endorsed if it is big enough and it is repeated a sufficient number of times. That was the Nazi minister of propaganda, a man by the name of Joseph Goebbels. And that is very, very true. And that is everything that is going on in Palestine is absolutely political maneuvering to get rid of the Jews, to drive them into the ocean, and to destroy the land of Israel. The myth of a Palestinian people evolved as a political countermove to Israel winning the war against the Arab armies during the Six-Day War in June of 1967, in which Israel took control of the West Bank, where East Jerusalem is. That's exactly where this land of Palestine and the Palestinian people, that all that nonsense started after five Arab nations declared war on Israel. All five nations, the Muslim nations, were destroyed. They were beaten down by the nation of Israel. And then, quite suddenly, the Arab population of the West Bank had a change of name to the ancient Palestinian people, even though a land called Palestine, governed by Palestinians, has never existed. The land called Palestine has always been Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. And this is what is going to create the two-state solution. And if things really heat up, all the events that we're watching right now, if everything really, really heats up, it is likely and it is possible that we may see, if the rapture doesn't take place in May, that we're praying for, that we're hoping for, Titus 2:13 says to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're praying and we're hoping that maybe Pentecost weekend is going to be the rapture. If it's not, then it's highly likely that very shortly afterwards, you might see the two-state solution finally take place. Joe Biden, 100% in favor of the two-state solution. In fact, Joe Biden would love to have his name connected with the creation of the two-state solution. And when you take the two-state solution and you add to that the Abraham Accords, where does that lead you? That leads you directly to the Daniel 9:27 covenant that Antichrist is going to confirm. So Joe Biden, he is thrilled. One of the first things that he did on his first 48 hours as the pretend president of the United States, Joe Biden reopened the Palestinian diplomatic mission in Washington. Joe Biden is sending $250 million to the Palestinian people so that they can wage war against Israel. Joe Biden is a huge supporter of the Palestinian people and the two-state solution. And he would love nothing more than to have his name on the team of political architects that is going to divide Israel right down the middle. Just a couple of weeks ago, Breitbart News reported Biden's Middle East policy, quote, will be to support a mutually agreed two-state solution in which Israel lives in peace and security. There it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. In which Israel lives in peace and safety alongside a viable Palestinian state. And that's what Joe Biden wants to do. So the events that are taking place right now and all those clips that I played for you earlier of the rockets being fired from the Gaza Strip and Hamas demanding that Israel withdraw completely from the Temple Mount, which I guarantee you is not going to happen. But all these things that are taking place right now play perfectly into the hands of Joe Biden to create a two-state solution in the nation of Israel. And Joe Biden would love nothing more than to divide Israel right down the middle. Kamala Harris says that she is 100% in favor of a two-state solution. Now, here's a little fun fact for you history buffs. Here's a little fun fact. 47 years ago, Joe Biden was a United States senator. And back in 1973, Joe Biden took his first foreign trip and he went to the Middle East. That sounds like fun, right? Joe Biden went to the Middle East and he lied to the then Prime Minister Golda Meir. In 1973, Joe Biden took a trip to Israel and told the Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir that they had absolutely nothing to worry about from Egypt, when in fact, Egypt was actively planning to attack Israel, which they did in the Yom Kippur War. But then a funny thing happened. When Joe Biden would recount this story years later, he told it as if he had warned Israel of the coming attack, for which Golda Meir was eternally grateful. Joe Biden lied. Joe Biden did not warn Israel about the coming attack from the Egyptians. Joe Biden, back in 1973, he met with Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir, and he said that, according to U.S. intelligence, it was impossible that Egypt was going to go to war with the nation of Israel. And Joe Biden went on a mission to lie to Israel, to get them to get their guard down so that when Egypt attacked, they would lose the skirmish. Now, fortunately, the Bible says that the God who watches over the nation of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. And even in their lost condition, God still watches over the nation of Israel because he has his covenant with Abraham. But Joe Biden went to the nation of Israel in 1973 and he lied to them about the possibility that Egypt was getting ready to attack Israel. Fortunately, the Israeli government did not believe him. They did not listen to him. And they prepared for the attack and they were able to prevent the nation of Egypt from attacking them. But had they listened to the false information that was being sold to them by Joe Biden, then things could have possibly gone a completely different way. But God is watching over the Jewish people. And he's been watching over the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years that they lived in the disbursement, what they call the diaspora. God was watching over the Jewish people in 1897. In 1897, in the first Zionist Congress, an incredible statement was made. And it took place in Basel, Switzerland. There was a man by the name of Theodor Herzl. And Herzl said this. Herzl said something amazing. He said that he was responsible for the starting of the modern day nation of Israel. And he said, "You may not believe me now, but in 50 years, the entire world is going to know about it." And he said this in 1897 in Basel, Switzerland, during what was called the First World Zionist Conference. And guess what happened almost 50 years later to the day? May 14th, 1948. And the nation of Israel was regathered according to Bible prophecy. And that is an absolutely amazing thing to think about. Theodor Herzl said this on September 3rd of 1897. "At Basel, I founded the Jewish state. If I said this out loud today, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50 years, everyone will perceive it." Isn't that incredible? That by Theodor Herzl said that on September 3rd of 1897, and by May 14th of 1948, Israel was regathered as a nation. And you don't think that you're living in the end times? You don't think that you're living in a day when Bible prophecy is literally leaping off the pages of your King James Bible? Well, you better wake up. And you better open your eyes because things are happening at lightning speed. Now, we have come to the end of our program for today, but we will absolutely be following what's happening in Israel every single step of the way. And if things really heat up, we're going to do a spontaneous podcast on either Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whenever. But if the situation calls for it, we will do special broadcasting to bring you updated news about what's happening in the nation of Israel. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast. Please keep this ministry in prayer. Please continue to pray for us and share our links. Please continue to donate and be generous. We have a billboard program. We have a Bible and track program. And we need your support more than ever before. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of the Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua. He was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until the work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho. Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about your men of Saul. There's no like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in hand. Go blow them around, the Joshua cried, cause the battle I'm in my hand. God knows when Joshua fit the battle around Jericho. Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul. There's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. They tell my great God that Joshua's spear was well nigh 12 feet long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. He had bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Oh, blow them around, the Joshua cried, cause the devil can't do you no harm. God knows him, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. And up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in hand. Don't blow them around, the Joshua cried, called the battle I'm in my hand. Then the lamb round sheep horns began to blow, the trumpets began to sound. Old Joshua shouted glory, and the walls come tumbling down. The God knows, and Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, 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 down.